A pleasant morning to you in YouTube land. We're delighted you've tuned in this morning and that we have this opportunity to study the Word of God together. We're regretting that we're not able to meet in person today, but we're mindful of those who are dealing with the virus, and we're mindful of those who are sick with other illness, and those who are grieving the loss of loved one. All are in our thoughts and in our prayers. We ask that you continue to pray for the elders as they oversee the flock of God here, to ensure that the souls of the members here are right with God, and we are thankful for their wisdom and oversight. If you have any spiritual need, if you'll contact one of the elders, Brother Guy McDaniel or myself, we'd be glad to assist you in any way. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke and the second chapter. And when you come to the Gospel of Luke in the second chapter, you'll find that this time Joseph and Mary are going to Bethlehem. Notice, if you will, verse 4. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, there are many people who enjoy the story of the birth of Jesus, and it is indeed one that is mighty touching. And this time of year, you'll find many who celebrate his birth. However, when you study the Bible, you'll find we have no divine authority to do such. We do not know the exact day Jesus was born because the Bible does not specify. Therefore, we should celebrate the fact he was born every day because his life, his death, and his resurrection are paramount to our salvation. But in our study, I want us to look at Jesus in the manger. But I don't want to leave him there. I want us to look at some different stages in the life of Jesus and leave the manger and see Jesus in different stages. If you take your Bible, though, begin with me in Luke 2, and you'll find the babe in the manger. And you think about Jesus when he was born of Mary. She was a virgin. In Luke 2, you'll find that it says that she was the betrothed wife of Joseph. They had not had relation, but the Holy Spirit had come upon her, and she conceived, and she gave birth to the God Son. She was the one who gave birth to Jesus the Christ, and she was a virgin when she gave birth. And then I want you to observe where they were. They were in Bethlehem at this time. And notice that at this time, there were some who were concerned about Jesus. You remember the wise men who had come from the east were looking for Jesus. And when they came, you remember Herod found out about Jesus, and he was concerned about this baby taking away his kingdom. Most people do not feel threatened by a baby, but Herod did. He was fearful he would take away his kingdom, and he had all male children, 2 years of age and younger, put to death. Can you imagine someone being threatened by a baby to the point that there was a massacre of the innocent children? But at this time, I want us to think about some things that surround his birth we often overlook. You know, Jesus was most likely born in a cave or in a barn. And we do know that here he was laid in a manger or a feed trough. Can you imagine the smell of the animals and the atmosphere that was there when Jesus was born? Many times we do not think about the fact that when Jesus was born, he was wrapped in swaddling cloth, not fine linen. Today when a baby is born, we want him to have the softest of clothes. We want him to have the best blanket. We want him to be of comfort. But I want you to think about, my friend, when Jesus was born, he had no such thing. Then to think about the first ones to come to congratulate them are some shepherds. And sometimes we take away how lowly his birth was and we romanticize it. And we beautify it. But I doubt seriously many would agree to have their baby born in a cave or in a barn. So the first thing I want us to think about is the lowly birth of Christ. That when He left the glory of heaven, He came and was born in the most humble way, in the most humble place. Here He was laid in a feed trough. But then if you have your Bible, notice that Jesus didn't stay a baby. Many times we look at the baby Jesus and we, as I said, aren't threatened. But notice, if you will, Jesus grew up. In your Bible, look in the book of Luke and the second chapter. And again, you'll find this time Jesus, when He's at 12 years of age. And when you find Jesus 12 years of age, you'll find that they come to Jesus, or Jesus comes to the scribes and those of that day, and notice that He is talking to them. He is listening to them. He's asking questions of the teachers. And notice it says in verse 47 of Luke 2, all who heard Him were astonished at His understanding and answers. At 12 years of age, He had great insight and wisdom into spiritual matters. But then if you think about it, Jesus grew on up. We have very little about His life except for that glimpse when He was 12 until He gets to be 30 years of age. But one thing we know from 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, He committed no sin. He was the sinless one. He was one who kept the will of God, who never violated the law of God, who did that which pleased His heavenly Father. But do not forget when Jesus lived on earth that He offended many people. You know, many times we get in our mind that Jesus was loved by all when He was here. But you remember in your Bible, in the book of Matthew and the 15th chapter, that on this occasion, Jesus is teaching. And when Jesus is teaching, notice that the Bible says in verse 12 that His disciples came and said to Him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" They came to Jesus and said, "Do you know that you offended them with your teaching?" And one thing I recognize, Jesus did not apologize for what He taught, because He taught the truth. Jesus understood that the truth many times will cut to the heart and people will be offended. And instead of responding the way they should, they become hot with anger. And Jesus said, "I'll tell you one thing, I have taught the truth." But then if you take your Bible, look in the book of John in the 6th chapter. And when you come to the book of John in the 6th chapter, again, Jesus is teaching. And this time He said, "If you're going to be My disciple, you must eat My body and drink My blood." And notice they were offended. In fact, Jesus asked this in verse 61, "Does this offend you?" I'll tell you, my friend, they were offended. Because in verse 66 it said, "From that time many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more." So one thing I recognize this morning is that when Jesus left the manger and He grew, He taught and preached and proclaimed the truth, and many were offended. In fact, to visit, you can turn over a couple chapters to John 8 and John 10, and you'll find where they wanted to stone Jesus for His teaching. Then you'll find they finally have had enough of Jesus teaching the truth, and they have Him crucified. In your Bible, in the book of Matthew, in the 27th chapter, and about verse 31, it talks about they led Him away to be crucified. Can you imagine, my friend, the Son of God has grown up, and Jesus has taught the truth, and man has become so bitter and envious of Him, they put Him to death. They nailed Him to the tree. That goes back to His birth in Luke 2. When Simeon came and talked to Mary, he said to her that because of this one, there will be a sword that will pierce your sword. When did that occur? When she saw Him on the cross of Calvary. But why was He there? Someone would say, because the people did not love Him, and the people hated Him and mocked Him at that time. That's true. But I'll tell you the ultimate reason He's there, to be the Lamb of God to take away our sin. It was in the mind of God that He would be there to blot out our sin, to be the perfect sacrifice that will take away the sin of mankind. Had Jesus not gone to the cross, we would not have a perfect sacrifice to blot out our sin. So thus far, I've looked at several stages in the life of Christ. I seen him in the manger, but I didn't leave him there. I recognize he grew up. And I recognize he proclaimed the truth. And I recognize that many were offended at his teaching, and thus they had him crucified. But then, my friend, turn to the book of Matthew in the 28th chapter. Do not leave him in the manger, and do not leave him on the cross, and do not leave him in the tomb. Notice, my friend, he's the resurrected Christ. That he was raised from the dead by the power of God, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 and Ephesians 1. That by the power of God, he was raised out of the death, out of the tomb. He was brought back to life by the power of God. But don't leave him there. In Acts 1, we see where he ascended back to the Father. Have you ever thought about what it must have been like when the apostles gazed up and saw Jesus ascend back into heaven and take his place at the right hand of God? I'll tell you, my friend, we sometimes see Jesus in the manger, but we do not need to leave him there. We need to see that he also lived a life that was sinless, and that he taught and proclaimed the kingdom of God, and that he was crucified, and he was a sacrifice for our sins, and he was put in the tomb, but he did not stay there. He was raised from the dead by the power of God, and then he ascended back to the heaven. I want to take that. I want to make several points for us in the lesson yours. I want us to think about some very important lessons we need to learn. First of all, why was Jesus born as a baby? Why did he come in that form? He went through every stage of temptation we have. He didn't come full grown. He grew up. And I want you to think about Jesus just as a baby. A baby cannot sin because a baby doesn't know right from wrong. But I want you to look at Jesus coming in the flesh, and he was dependent upon his mother. Here is the Son of God dependent upon Mary for many years. But then I want you to think about, see how low he went to save man. Born in a cave or in a barn and laid in a feed trough. Did not have a pillow to lay his head, and that was the case for his whole life. And he was murdered for something he did not do. I'll tell you, when you read Philippians chapter 2 and you think about Jesus leaving the glory of heaven and coming to this earth, it ought to touch your heart. To be born in such a lowly way and to live in such a lowly way to save us from sin. To leave glory and come and put on flesh and live in such a lowly manner. But we need to see his life. What a perfect example of how to live. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:21 that he's left us an example that we should follow in his steps. That's not just in suffering, that's in how to live. He did leave us an example of how to suffer, but he also left us an example of how we're to live to please the God of heaven. Oh, I would I could get that into the hearts of men and women. That if you want an example, look to Jesus. Look at the one who gave us the perfect example. But then look at the cross. From the wood of the feed trough to the carpenter shop to the cross, he lived and died with his hands in wood. He had a humble beginning and a humiliating end, all to redeem man. He came because he loved your soul. He came to this earth to save you from your sin, something you could not save yourself from. Even though you're the one who violated the will of God, even though you're the one who sinned against God, he came to be the sacrifice for your sin. But do you see him resurrected, raised from the dead? He's alive. He's ascended back to the Father. He's at the right hand of God. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. And I'll tell you, my friend, we ought to bow down to him. We need to worship him because he's the one who saved us from our sin. But I'll tell you something else. When you preach Christ, you're going to offend others. When you take him away from the manger and show what he taught, many today, like in his day, get offended at the truth. There are people that when you tell them you need to be baptized for the remission of sins to be added to the family of God, they get offended. But who said that? Jesus did in Mark 16:16. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Jesus taught that. And how many people are offended at that? So many people get angry at the teaching of Jesus. But then I'll tell you one last thing. When you look at Jesus, leave the manger to the cross. And when you look at the cross, don't leave him there. Remember, he went to the tomb. But don't leave him there. He was raised from the dead. And don't leave him there. He's been ascended back to the throne of God. Today, let us think about the life of the one who lived a perfect life, was without blemish, and died on Calvary's cross to take away our sin, and has ascended back to the Father. And one day, He'll be our judge. That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:10. So we live to please our King. Thank you for studying with me this morning.